taking your calls right now at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online tonight.
Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
That's right, I'm Max, and there's nothing more than we like to do than talk about pop culture, high-tech, low-tech, or other geeky things here on Online Tonight, except we love to talk to you, so give me a call at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. You can also send in your questions or comments via text or email. Our text is 951-395-1017. 951 is the area code, 395-1017. And email show@onlinetonight.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers. So you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
Phone lines are open, 1-800-39-ONLINE. Victoria's taking your calls, going through your emails and your text. Well, Google's had a bad week. We talked a little bit last week about how their AI appears to be extremely biased and is spitting out incorrect information. And therefore, I'm personally concerned about some of the other things that it might be spitting out, not just the images that were all crazy. But the CEO, Sundar Pichai, said that there was a memo that he sent out, and several different places have published it, and they all look the same. And I will quote the memo. It says, "Hi, everyone. I wanted to address the recent issues with problematic text and image responses in the Gemini app, formerly Bard. I know some of its responses have offended our users and shown bias. To be clear, that's completely unacceptable. And we got it wrong." No, you got caught is kind of what happened. Clearly, there were a lot of people involved in the AI stuff. And people put in a lot of content control measures to spit out nonsense. And after QA testing and all the other things that you did, you let it out. So the only reason why you're backpedaling now is because a lot of people said, we can't trust you anymore. And, you know, the memo goes on to say, our teams have been working around the clock to address these issues or to try to hide our bias better, maybe. We're already seeing a substantial improvement in a wide range of prompts. No AI is perfect. Oh, this is the excuses. Especially at this emerging stage in the industry's development, but we know the bar is high for us. And we will keep at it for however long it takes, and we'll review what happened and make sure we fix it at scale. The funny part about the whole thing is that when you looked up some of the Google founders, and this is probably what tipped off a couple people and maybe upset the board, the chairman, and stuff like that, is they were misrepresenting the ethnicity of the founders, even, who were what, Swedish or European? I don't even know. And so when you asked for the images of the people who founded Google, you were getting images that clearly did not represent the heritage and the, you know, the education and the all the other things that I would think that a multi-billion dollar company's founders would be proud of. They were giving out very, very, very different representations of even the founding people of the company. You know, so put aside the whole thing that, you know, they misrepresented George Washington. They wouldn't show you Albert Einstein. They wouldn't, you know, there was a lot of things going on there. And really, you know, Google got caught. And now they're trying to figure out. But I guess part of my question is, the bias still lives within the company. How are you going to flush that out? And if it's a bias that you agree with, hey, then keep supporting Google. If it's a bias that you don't agree with, then you have to question every single thing that they give you. Everything they generate for you, you have to look at very carefully and say, can I trust this now? Because it may not necessarily represent the same values that I have. More Google problems. 32 media companies have hit Google with a $2.3 billion lawsuit. Media giants such as Axel Springer from 17 countries in Europe are suing the search giant over heavy losses that they incurred because of Google's misconduct in digital advertising. This is according to The Verge. Without Google's abuse of its dominant position, the media companies would have received significantly higher revenues from advertising and paid lower fees for ad services, a statement from the lawyers representing the media companies said. So if you're spending money on Google ads, again, you want to kind of make sure that you're getting what you think you're paying for. How do you know your ads aren't getting buried? How do you know your ads are actually going to the people that you have outlined that you want it to go to? I don't use Google ads or Facebook ads or anything like that. Does your business rely on those types of things, on digital ads on these platforms? I do see over and over and over some of the larger companies' ads show up in my timelines and things like that a lot more often. I don't see a lot of the smaller independents. I see very little from media companies that aren't like, you know, Disney, Warner Brothers, Paramount. I hardly ever see Lionsgate ads. I've never seen an Axel Springer ad, but that's probably because I'm not in Europe. So I'm curious, does your business rely on these types of services, and do you feel that you're getting your money's worth? And this lawsuit is occurring in Europe. Do you think we need to have the same kind of suit here in America? Do you think that they have your best interest in heart, or are they just grabbing the money and telling you that they're doing stuff? I mean, we have kind of the same thing in the radio business. When an advertiser works with us, you know, we have to go back to all the affiliates and say, were we bumped? Was there a technical issue? Did these ads in their entirety go through? Because we want to, just as a company and as a policy, at least for us, we want to make sure that the advertisers are gonna get what they paid for. And if they rely on us being on 50 or 70 or 100 and something plus affiliates across the country, we want to make sure that those ads are actually being played when we say they are. And so we have to go to our partners and say, you know, is this happening? And, you know, how do you audit? How do you audit something like that from Google or Facebook Marketplace or any of those places? And if you're a small business and it's a big chunk of your budget, are you getting what you want? Something else that Google's in the news for is that if, and this is very rare, I don't actually know a lot of people who have done this with their phones, but back in the Apple world, there's something called jail. You can jailbreak your iPhone. And what that does is it reloads a different operating system that bypasses some of Apple's restrictions and things like that. And it was a really hard process. Android has had what's called rooted Android devices for quite some time. And, you know, it seemed almost like Google was kind of allowing it and really not, you know, being overly verbal about the fact that these things were happening. You know, they kind of had this thing that Android is kind of the open architecture and you have the freedom to do what you want. And then, of course, they came out with the Google Store, and then they had, you know, the same kind of reviews and some of the same complaints that developers had with Apple about, well, why can't my app be on there now because you said it's free and open? Oh, no, we have to moderate and make sure it's safe and all these other things. Well, if you've rooted your phone, you will now see that your RCS messages, and RCS messages are kind of like the multimedia type of messages where you can put in stickers and emojis and different fonts and background changes and things like that. Well, now Google is blocking RCS messages from phones that have been rooted. And of course, there's a whole thing on Reddit about how, you know, this is unfortunate. It looks like they are now using their GMS certification to make sure that things are right. So let me know, is this the type of thing that you do? Stay tuned. All right, this is Geek Speak, where we take a tech term, turn it into plain English right before your very eyes. This hour's Geek Speak is BIT, B-I-T. This portion of the show is powered by Anchor. I've used other Anchor products, but I didn't realize that they are the world's number one charging brand with over 200 million products sold worldwide. They've been a pioneer in the charging technology field for over 10 years. I'm very interested in the Powerhouse 767. You want to think of it as a giant battery-operated generator, kind of like those Honda generators or other ones where you put gas in it, you pull the thing, the engine runs, and then you can plug stuff in it. Well, you don't need gas. It uses batteries. It has 13 charging ports and outlets. It's great for RVs, outdoor recreation, home backup. Find all the amazing Anchor products at OLTTV.com/Anchor. That's OLTTV.com/A-N-K-E-R. Now, BIT. A bit, it's crazy to think that all of the power, all of the things that we now use digital devices with, all only store two things, a one and a zero. That's a bit. It can only be in the computer memory and in the CPU. Everything that it works on a bit, a binary bit. Binary means two. It can only have two states, zero or one. And that's usually represented by an electrical value of on or off. In some cases, zero voltage is a zero, and 5 volts is a one. And so there's different ways to represent the binary information inside of a device. But that's it. It's either on or off. It's either a one or a zero. And that is how computers store everything with bits. That's this hour's Geek Speak, BIT.
No boy or Girl Scouts were harmed in the production of this show. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right, just a quick aside. I wanted to share with you that if you are into cryptocurrency and you are trying to, get a tax break, or you have more coins than you know what to do with, you can always donate them to charity. You can head over to cryptoforcharity.io, and on the front page there, you can click on Donate Crypto, choose your organization. The one that I support is the Jennifer Smart Foundation, Jennifer Smart Foundation, and they pop right up. You pick your coin. I just did ETH, but it takes Bitcoin and XRP and USDC and Tether and a bunch of stuff like that. And then you put in the coin amount, not the dollar amount, but the coin amount. So I had a fraction of a coin. I didn't have a full ETH that I wanted to donate. So I just typed in 0.156 or, whatever it was that I wanted to donate. You can send a message to the nonprofit. You can either make it anonymous, or you can, share who you are. And to help the company or the nonprofit that offers this service, you can give a little bit of the fund to help them as well. But I like to just donate the entire amount to the foundation. If you're interested in doing something like that and you want to support the Jennifer Smart Foundation as well, cryptoforcharity.io is one place that you can go. A little bit more about bits and bytes. There is a trend that I have talked about. And other people had this whole thing about Physical Media Week. And some people are really saying, and we've had some great allies in the space. Christopher Nolan, as you may know, he's a famous I think he's a director of Oppenheimer, if I remember correctly. He recently said that 4K Blu-ray is the best way. The physical disc is the best way to watch his movie because you're not going to get throttled. You're not going to get lower resolution. You're going to get what he created and what he intended. And even though we've been streaming for, 10 years now, and places are no longer selling DVDs and Blu-rays, I remember when we used to get our DVDs from Netflix, and then, you know, they finally got rid of that service a few years ago. Back in 2017, between 2017 and 2021, they were making about $14 billion in sales. In 2014, almost $15 billion in sales. Did I say 14? 17. Let me try again. 2017, DVDs and physical media was selling $15 billion. As of 2021, it was down to under $7 billion, $6.5 billion. But 4K Ultra HD Blu-rays are still very popular. It's almost like a certain group of the population has gone back to vinyl. There's a warmth to vinyl. There's a personality to vinyl. You're getting, you know, the original, if it was recorded on analog tape, you're getting the original kind of representation of all the nuances from that recording. And so Christopher Nolan also says that the 4K Blu-ray, you're getting as much as we can possibly give you on a disc. And you don't have to worry about the stream not working, especially when the AT&T network was out last week, or, you know, some ding-dong runs into your pedestal down the street and your internet and the whole block is out for 3 days. Don't have to worry about those things. If you have a disc, you can just pop it in and watch it, and you're going to get the best bit rate. You're going to get the best quality. You're going to get all the things that you really like. And he's also very proud that they sold out at all the major retailers in just weeks after Christopher Nolan got up there and said the best way to watch Oppenheimer is on 4K Blu-ray. Other articles in relation to physical media is, do you like having an Xbox or a Sony and only downloading games, or do you like to have the discs? I still have a whole shelf of discs, and I like to pop them in there and hear the whirl. And there's just that, you know, it adds to the retro feel because I like to play on older consoles. I have, you know, one of the voices I did for the Saints Row game. I still have an original Xbox 360 that the publisher skinned for me and put special stickers on it. And I've got the disc and I've got it signed, and you know, I like to put that in and hear the whirl as it's loading. Same with my PS2, my PS3. So I'm still a huge fan and advocate for physical media because sometimes the internet goes out. Sometimes when I'm on a plane, I just want to watch a Blu-ray or a DVD, and I still have an older laptop that I can take with me on travels that has that information, especially on a cruise ship or while I'm on vacation, because sometimes the Wi-Fi doesn't work, especially on a cruise ship. You got to pay like $40 a day or something, and then the bit rate is horrible. Barely check your mail, let alone watch a 4K movie. Anyway, what are your thoughts? Let me know. Are you a physical media person, or are you completely reliant on streaming? And what happens if they take it away from you, like Sony threatened to do a couple weeks ago? Give me a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE. Email the show. Show at Online Tonight. Stay tuned.
around for the phone number. It's 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546.
Online tonight.
Well, back in the early days of radio, all they had were jungle drums beating the rhythmic message of traffic and weather from village to village. But did they complain?
Hell no.
Do you hear me complaining?
Hell no, because you got a massive secret race that caused all these problems in the first place.
Exactly.
.357 Magnum, the original point-and-click interface. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
I am Max. Thank you so much for joining me. I greatly appreciate it. It's 24 minutes before the hour, or thereabouts. This is Online Tonight. Give me a call. Give me a call at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is our toll-free telephone number.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers. So you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
That's correct. M-I-N-T, just in case you need it. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our toll-free telephone number. The lines are open. 1-800-396-6546. Also, taking your texts and emails. Obviously, the phone number is the best way for us to have a conversation, but if you would like the one-way interaction, our text is 951-395-1017. Email show@onlinetonight.com. Hey, did you try to play any video games on Leap Day, also known as February 29th? Well, there were some problems. And I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember the Y2K crisis back in 1998, 1999, right before it clicked over to 2000. People were freaking out. They thought that airplanes were going to fall out of the sky and all the internet was going to come crashing down and that our power was going to go out because of the a lot of the grid being attached to the internet and everything. So back in 1999, great Prince song, by the way, from the 80s, you know, people were panicking. They thought financial institutions and Wall Street was going to crash and all these things, because what happened was, you know, software, DOS and CPM and Unix and all these things, they were developed in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Bell Labs, AT&T Bell Labs, you know, they designed this Unix system to help run phone switches, and they really didn't think ahead, or back then RAM was so expensive that they had to store the date in 2 bits. And so we talked about bits earlier, a 1 or a 0, and they were representing dates based on a calculation, you know, off of like 1970 plus some number or whatever, right? And that gave you the date. So people were panicked, and so, you know, a lot of software had to be rewritten so that they would have more space for the longer dates and no longer do this 1970s calculation to figure out what the date is, and they could just store the actual date in a field. So long story short, apparently game developers had some problems on the 29th. Specifically, people that were big fans of EA's WRC sports WRC, it's a racing game. They couldn't boot the game up because of time zone issues. Now, the internet sometimes is your best friend, and what people were able to do was to change the date to the 1st, March 1st, and then the game would work. So that was good. If you were playing Square Enix game, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I think it was, not working, then this is the part I'm confused. It wasn't working on the Nintendo, but it was working on the PlayStation, but I actually heard the reverse. So I'm not sure which it was. If you were affected by it, give me a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE, because I would love to know if it was just the Nintendo and the PlayStation was fine or vice versa. So, a lot of people were disappointed because as part of Final Fantasy, you've got these dailies that you want to, keep up with so that you can get things going. Are there dailies in Final Fantasy, or is it just the Theat Rhythm Final Bar line? I don't know. So anyway, that would be a good question to answer, but people weren't able to get on there. And of course, on X, there were people complaining, and of course, they responded and say, "Oh, we're working on it. We're trying to figure out what the problem was." Well, apparently, it was a date. It happens every 4 years. You would think that companies that are spending hundreds of millions of dollars would be able to figure out what day of the week it is or day of the month it is, and not have these things come crashing down. But it happens. More video game news. Bay Area-based Sony division is laying off 900 workers. We talked about some of the changes that were going on at EA and some of the changes that were going on at Blizzard and Activision not too long ago. And the CEO of this group basically said, based on economic conditions right now and the budgets and things like that, it was inevitable. So video game giant Sony Interactive Entertainment, which I believe is based out of San Mateo, which is just east. I think if you take the Sloat and then head down, you can pop down to the, is it the 101 before you cut across by the Home Depot and head over to the 280 South. There's a Sony that is there, and they're cutting about 900 people in that area. And so that's unfortunate for those workers. But Sony did say that PlayStation Plus deals are coming. You can buy directly from Sony. And there's some really good deals, even if there aren't any like good third-party bargains right now. The Sony PlayStation 5 is one of the most popular consoles out there, as you probably already know. I'm reading this article from our friends over at CNET. Deals on PS Plus subscriptions have been hard to come by since the service was redesigned last year. Sony will be offering direct discounts only during major events like Days of Play sale. And I think the last time they did that was in September, if I recall. And you can check it out. It's a $10 a month service minimum, $25 for 3 months, or you can get the whole year for just $80. And you can check it out. There's some nice little bonuses there. That's for the essential. Of course, they have the extra plan and the premium plan. The difference between the essential and premium is it's basically double the cost. It's $160, but there is a level in the middle there that you can check out for $130 or $140. That's the mid tier, and that would be fun for you. There are some new bonuses that are coming out in March. You're going to get some extra free games if you're interested in that type of thing. PlayStation Plus will be offering Sifu, Destiny 2, The Witch Queen, Hello Neighbor 2, and this was kind of a shock, was unexpected, F1 2023. Those are four games in total that you're going to get. That's one more than usual. Usually they only give you three, and they are all pretty decent games from what I understand. I haven't played any of these yet. But I definitely hear about them around the office, people saying, these are something that they like. Destiny 2, obviously, is I've heard more about. Hello Neighbor 2, I'll have to ask around to see what people think of that, and we'll let you know. And then another sad thing, EA is cutting another 670 jobs from a Star Wars game that they just canceled, one of the upcoming Star Wars games, and they're laying off 5% of the employees globally to deal with that, and that game is gone. So if you were looking forward to the Star Wars game, it is no longer with us. And so there you go. But, you know, what are you going to do sometimes? That's always the trick. See, we talked about this before. CES, E3, some of these places where they show off stuff, and you think, oh, you get really excited about it, and then it never actually comes to market. What are you excited about seeing in the next month or two in the video game space? Give me a ring. 1-800-39-ONLINE. Stay tuned. This hour's bookmark, this is wildlifeday.org. Back in 2013, March 3rd was designated as United Nations World Wildlife Day. For World Wildlife Day 2024, there's a focus on how digital conservation technologies and services can drive wildlife conservation, sustainability, and legal wildlife trade and human-wildlife coexistence now and for future generations in an increasingly connected world. You can now check out the celebrations being held around the world and learn more about conservation efforts at wildlifeday.org. That's all one word, wildlifeday.org. That's this hour's bookmark. This brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Southwest offers flights to over 100 destinations in 42 states, plus Central America, the Caribbean, Puerto Rico. Just to name a few, find out more about all the destinations you could include in your next vacation at OLTTV.com/SWA. That's OLTTV.com/SWA. All right, speaking of animals, I found this to be interesting. And I will start with some numbers, which may or may not make any sense to you, but it seems to make sense to me that larger animals should be able to produce larger noises, right? So a jet, as an example, is not an animal, but a jet makes a lot of noise. We used to hang out by the airport and watch the jets take off, and, you know, there's a giant sign that says, you know, the decibels in this area. And decibels, maybe I'll make it a geek speak sometime, decibels is a measurement of how loud a sound is. And there are OSHA and there are other health warnings, like you shouldn't have exposure, even short term or long term, to some of these sound levels. Bad for your ears and other things. Anyway, a larger animal, like an elephant, can produce a sound up to 125 decibels with their trunks. And so you would think larger animal, lion, elephant, loud sounds. But there is a shrimp out there that can create a sound by popping its claws that has measured up to 250 decibels. That's crazy. Well, apparently, in the waters of Burma, there is a half-inch transparent fish that can produce 140 decibels. That's more than the elephant. And it is small and lives in the water. And this just fascinates me. It's completely crazy that such a small thing can make a loud sound. Could you imagine waking up, I'm not even sure where Burma is. I don't know if it's one of those tropical destinations or someplace that I'd like to visit someday. I'm always interested in travel. I've enjoyed all the travels that we've done. Been to every state in the continental U.S. and parts of Canada and Mexico. Been on cruises. I've been to Ireland and England. I would like to go to Disneyland Paris and Disneyland Tokyo, and there's some candy that I really want in Japan. Miss Jennifer went there for a summer class and brought me back some really fantastic things. So I'd be very curious to go to some place like Burma. But I'm wondering if these animals sleep at night, or if I'm going to be here, if I'm going to hear this screaming noise all the time, every day. That would maybe kind of freak me out. You know, when I was a kid, I wasn't really allowed a dog until I was old enough to take care of it. I had to, you know, promise to feed it. I had to promise to pick up its waste after it went to the bathroom. I had to make sure that it was brushed and groomed and take it for walks. And I did finally get a dog. I got a Belgian Wolf, also known as a White German Shepherd. And, of course, it then became my mom's dog very quickly. And anytime we would go over to try to, you know, hug my mom or try to grab my mom or whatever, her fangs would get out and she would growl at you. She's very protective of my mother. And so when I saw this Technos AI-powered robot dog, I almost lost my mind, because it is definitely influenced and inspired by the German Shepherd. And it was kind of neat to see it demonstrated recently. They're a Chinese firm, and they were also at the Mobile World Conference. We talked about that last week, where Motorola showed off that cool bendable watch that you – or it's not a watch. It's a phone. It's a candy bar phone that you can bend and make into a half circle, and then using a special magnet bracelet, you can attach it to your – you can attach it to your wrist and turn it into like a cool communicator. Or we talked about that. If you missed that portion of the show, grab the podcast. But this conference was in Barcelona, and they showed off the Sleek Dynamic One, they call it. And it is a high-tech canine. Fascinated by this. Would love to see. I was also fascinated by the Sony Aibo when it came out, and its ability with the pink ball and all of these things. The thing can go like 8 miles an hour, according to their documentation. It can has a battery, but it's not a great battery. So your dog's only going to be able to run around for like an hour and a half, maybe, on a good day. And then, you know, you have to charge it back up. That, I think that's the disappointing part. You can't go for like a hike or a walk with your animal, because it's going to run out of power, and then you're going to have to pick the thing up, and then you're going to have to, you know, figure out how am I going to get this back down the trail. And if it's anything like the hike we had in Yosemite, I don't want any extra weight. I struggled. I had a lot of tricky parts. Speaking of real dogs, the U.S. CDC, that's the disease control people, they have proposed an update to dog import rules for the first time in 70 years, where they test for rabies and other things. The original guidelines were out in 1956, and they are talking about adjusting those so that dogs and other animals can enter the United States in a different way. So hopefully that's good for you, or maybe not good for you. Don't forget that if you missed any portion of the show, head over to onlinetonight.com. We do the show notes for every hour of the show. You can listen to the podcast right there on the website, or better yet, you can subscribe to it, in which case it will then automatically be downloaded to your mobile device or your laptop or anything like that. And don't forget, we've got some merch. You can go to olttv.com/store, and you get a shirt, a mug, and all kinds of things. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is produced and copyrighted by Smart Family Media. All rights reserved. Host Maxwell Smart. Producer and other hats worn by Victoria Smart. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, affiliates, or other advertisers.
We're on the air live tonight, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is the number.
Well, I have to say, I've heard of you, but I'm not too familiar with your show.
This should give you a good idea of what we can bring to your station.
And now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight. On the air, toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Max. Welcome to Online Tonight, where we talk about the latest in tech, pop culture, and more. That more includes food, animals, things that I think are geeky, whatever it is you'd like to talk about. We love talking to you. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our toll-free telephone number. You can also send us a text and email. Our text is 951-395-1017. 951-395-1017. You can email show@onlinetonight.com. That's show, S-H-O-W, at onlinetonight.com. But the best way is really to give us a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE. That way we can have a conversation. I can ask you questions. Most of the time, we don't respond to email and text, and then you have to listen to all the hours of every show to find out if we responded or answered your question, whereas you get it immediately if you call.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers, so you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
Phone lines are open. Miss Victoria is taking your calls, checking out your text and your emails. We're going to jump in with some tech news. If you are a tech startup or you have an invention that you're working on and you get some funding, you might want to be careful who you get your funding from. So Sam Altman is currently the executive over at OpenAI. You may not know the name, but if you have followed any of AI stuff recently, you've heard the name ChatGPT. And, of course, that is the underpinnings of Copilot from Microsoft. Well, Elon Musk was an original investor and board member, apparently, of the of OpenAI. And they had a founding agreement, and it was signed by, you know, the board and the funding people. And Elon Musk is now suing them for betraying the fundamental mission of OpenAI. Elon is saying that OpenAI Inc. has been transformed into a closed source de facto subsidiary of the largest technology company in the world, Microsoft. Under its new board, it is not just developing, but is actually refining an AGI to maximize profits for Microsoft rather than the benefit of humanity. That's what the lawsuit alleges. And so he has often stated that unchecked AGI, which is artificial general intelligence. Probably should talk briefly. I'm not a super scientist, so I'm going to try to make this as simple as I understand it. You've got AI, which is artificial intelligence. And previously, it was very specific. We had the blue, what was it called? Blue something from IBM that played chess. And then we had Watson, who played Jeopardy. That was a more general type of thing, but it still had very limited knowledge. AGI is supposed to be more human-like in that it can process things and have a lot more general information in a lot of different topics. I mean, of course, you've got your specialists like your heart surgeons, your neuro surgeons and scientists, and you've got specialists. Like when I go to the dentist, I go and talk to the person who's a specialist in either crowns or veneers or what is that thing that I hate when they rip out your whole tooth and they do a They go right down into the nerve. Miss Victoria, are you there? Root canal. Thank you. I didn't hear you on the air, but I heard you. Weird. Anyway, yeah, so you've got specialists in different areas, but most of us generally with common sense and our environmental exposures and relatives and the way we were brought up and the people we hang around, we have like this general knowledge, and I put that as where AGI is going. And so Elon Musk is concerned about that, and when they formed the nonprofit AI lab, it was to be the opposite of what Google was doing, and it was to be known as open AI, meaning it was supposed to benefit everybody, and there were supposed to be some open source abilities in there, and Elon's not happy with the direction of where that's going. Another group of people that are not very happy is the people who just got laid off from Apple's Project Titan. That was the code name. And apparently, they spent more than $10 billion on it before they canceled the project. What was the project? Autonomous driving vehicles. And they even had permits from San Francisco. They rented out an old airstrip on the east side of the bay where they were testing out their cars, and they had these secret lab buildings, and they spent over a decade and $10 billion, and they've just scrapped it. They called it off last week. They said no more, and they're going to move some of the people that were involved in that project into their AI group, because obviously there had to be some kind of artificial intelligence on driving the cars and safety and things like that. And other people were also surprised by this cancellation. Xiaomi, a Chinese company that are making cars, they were hoping to partner with Apple on possibly using their technology. Some other companies, I know there was a big discussion a few years ago that Volkswagen was going to be the one that was going to make the first Apple cars. You got to remember that Volkswagen has a whole line of motor brands. So they own, of course, Volkswagen, but they also own Audi, Porsche, Ducati, Bentley, Lamborghini. I mean, they own a ton of stuff. And so, of course, some of the luxury brands, maybe the Porsche brand, maybe the Bentley brand or somebody like that could have come out with the Apple car, or they could have used those factories to create the autonomous Apple car. But no more. And more than 2,000 employees that worked on the project are being redistributed. Some of them obviously are going to have to be laid off. And so that was kind of a blow for that industry. People were looking forward to seeing what Apple might be offering. Because every year at CES, there's always more and more of these autonomous vehicles, whether they're, the little taxis that are supposed to be in the 15-minute cities, or cars that are self-driving. BMW has shown that a few times. I think Mercedes has shown that a few times. They will rent out a giant section of the parking lot and you go to their booth. It's usually by invitation, which is why I haven't, or there's a long line. Like the BMW one was a super long line, so we didn't go in there. But they'll take you out. You know, they always have a person behind the wheel just in case, but they're showing off their technologies on how you really don't need a driver anymore. And I'm not really sure how I feel about that. I have a whole thing about being on buses and things like that when I'm not driving. I feel more comfortable, obviously, when I'm the driver. I'm not always the best passenger, but that's just me. A lot of people are very excited about the new Galaxy Ring. We talked about that last week, I believe, and how their main competitor is the Aura Ring. But Samsung has come out and said that they are going to be coming out with a health tracker, and it will have different battery sizes and things like that. And they're targeting Android devices only. So if you think this is going to come and be supported through an iOS app or something like that, think again. They are not have any plans to make it compatible with the iPhone at this time. All right, still to come on online tonight, we've got more tech news, hopefully your calls. Of course, we've got our Geek Speak and our bookmark for this hour. Give us a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. Stay tuned. Alright, this hour's Geek Speak, which is a tech term that we turn into plain English right before your very ears, is on our theme of how computers store information. This hour's Geek Speak is Byte, B-Y-T-E. This portion of the show is brought to you by Paramount Plus, your favorite Nickelodeon shows, all Star Trek series, the Transformer movies, and Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning are now available for streaming on Paramount Plus. You can find out all they have to offer at OLTTV.com/stream. That's OLTTV.com/stream, S-T-R-E-A-M. Now, Byte. Because bits, which we talked about last hour, are so small, it's a one or a zero, you rarely work with those individually. They're assembled into a group of eight. So eight. A collection of eight ones and zeros is called a byte, B-Y-T-E. A byte contains enough information to store a single ASCII character, you know, like a letter or a number and other things. And so when you hear a hard drive is 1 terabyte, you can multiply that by eight, and that will tell you how many bits it will contain. But that would be too hard to count. And so a byte is a group of eight bits. Hopefully that makes sense. That's this hour's Bookmark This. I mean, Geek Speak.
If at first you don't succeed, destroy all evidence that you tried. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right, can you tell I have the Bookmark This all queued up for myself? That's not until another segment or two, so that was Geek Speak. And we have a question from an email question from Paul in, where is it, Minneapolis, Miss Victoria? So I can kind of hear her, but I can't hear her, so I'm assuming that you cannot hear her. I will have engineering check that mic and see what's going on. Or maybe she's not there. Maybe she's on the phone. Let me read it to you. Hey, Max, I have a silly question for you. Everyone still says X, formerly Twitter, which always reminds me of back in the 90s when Prince changed his name. Everybody couldn't say the symbol name, so they used to say the artist formerly known as Prince. His question is, Paul's question is, when can we just call it X without a mouthful of other words? And he has a laughing emoji here. Keep up the good work. Oh, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Paul. While Twitter isn't the first company, really, to change their name over the last few years, I remember a long time ago when I had GTE as my phone company, and then they made a big push into wireless, and they changed their name to Verizon. Of course, Google and Facebook, they've changed their name. Google is now Alphabet, and Google and Dynamics, the robot group, and YouTube, they're all a division independent operating company of Alphabet. And then, of course, Facebook changed their name to Meta. So, you know, it happens. These name changes happen. Sometimes names get lost in a sentence and it looks like a misprint. That's the problem with X, is it's not clear sometimes. Maybe it means times. It just depends on the context. Also, it's very difficult to say, I'm going to send an X about this. You know, I'm so used to saying, hey, did you tweet that out or did you look at the tweets today? So I think that that verbiage is difficult. when one account recently put out a poll asking users, 95% of the 33,000 votes were for Twitter. They said, you know, just bring back Twitter, because there it's easier to communicate what you mean. When you say X, it causes some confusion sometimes. Again, you can't make it into a verb, right? And there's still T-shirts out there that say, I still call it Twitter. And if you want to save some keystrokes, however, you can get your former Twitter account by simply typing the letter x.com and then your name. So it's fewer letters. I guess that's one plus. In additional news in the Twitterverse, the Xverse, do you remember there was a service called Periscope? And Periscope was this live audio feature that was available. Did it do video? I don't even remember. I didn't really use it that much. But X has added video to Spaces now. Spaces used to be audio only. Periscope was the video service, which, you know, X, formerly Twitter, owns, but they've decided to just add video to Spaces. So you can now turn on your video during a chat session, and that should be good. You should enjoy that, hopefully. Spaces users will notice a new option called Enable Video when they first create a new Spaces session. Hosts can opt for either their which camera they want to use, front-facing, back-facing, landscape, vertical, doesn't matter. You can make those choices. The video Spaces is available now on the iOS version of the X app, and it will be available on Android, and some people are wondering if it's going to be supported on the web interface or not. There is, I guess they're still kind of rolling it out, and some users have complained about a lag, a delay, or what we call in the business latency, which is, the delay, like a buffering type of thing. So if those are concerning for you, then you may just want to stick with the audio for now. But video is available if that's something that you're interested in. Also, Twitter calls or X calls with the latest iOS update, are now on by default. So audio and video calling is now available to everyone on X, right? You know, who are you going to call, they ask. But you may not want that to be on by default. You can change your settings. So you go into message settings, and you can make it no one, only verified users, or you can open it to everybody. And then you can also, farther down in the settings panel, take messages to the next level with audio and video calls. When enabled, you can select who you're comfortable using it with. Enable audio video calls, yes or no. You can check that box, and you can turn that service off if you so want to. Hey, don't forget, we've got a new merch store. You might want to check it out. It is olttv.com/store. And we've got some T-shirts there. I've got my parody shirt there. We've got some mugs and some tote bags, a clock, some fun things there that you can grab. It helps support the show. And, of course, I will be donating some of those funds to my favorite charity. And later on this hour, I will share with you how you can donate your cryptocurrency to that same charity like I just did a few weeks ago. And don't forget, head over to the website, onlinetonight.com, where we put in all the show notes and things like that. I want to hear from you. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is live and on the air at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
tonight.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say.
All right, thank you so much for including me in your day. I greatly appreciate it. 24 minutes before the hour. My name is Max. The name of the show is Online Tonight. Our toll-free telephone number is available, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers, so you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
I'm Victoria. Let's take a look at Spaceman, rated R, debuting on Netflix today. Jakub is an astronaut from the Czech Republic, spending a year alone while traveling to the outskirts of the galaxy to collect samples of a recent anomaly visible from Earth. Back home, his pregnant wife, Lenka, decides to leave Jakub, unbeknownst to him, but he realizes there are issues in his marriage. He reflects on his life with the assistance of an extraterrestrial creature who has been studying him from the shadows of his ship.
I'm Jennifer, and this movie is based on the 2017 novel Spaceman of Bohemia. It stars Adam Sandler in the non-comedic role of Jakub, and Carey Mulligan is his wife, Lenka. Kunal Nair is Peter, the main ground control contact, and Isabella Rossellini is the commissioner of the space agency. Paul Dano voices Hanush, the creature.
All right, I have a lot of questions. Okay, first of all, let me just make this plain. It's a love story, okay?
In space.
In space.
Oh, only one of the people is in space.
Partly in space. But if you look at it from that, if you go into this movie thinking, oh, this is a sci-fi movie, you know, Adam Sandler's in it, it's going to be funny. No, this is just purely a relationship movie. It's about two people trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. They're both in their own solitary space, trying to figure these things out. One of them, go ahead.
And yet it still has the slowness of a space movie.
Well, okay. Exactly. Was getting to the pacing. You know, I think somebody spent like $20, $30, $40 million building this space set.
They're trying
that
to
everybody
as much
is
use.
Using.
Yes, as possible.
I feel like the ISS movie used it. What was the last? Constellation from, was that Apple TV?
Yeah.
They used it. This movie is using it. Everybody's using this set because it's got the harnesses and it's got the, you know, it looks.
This one looked a little different.
Not much. They They just stuck extra stickers and extra boxes. Go ahead.
They made it look more Eastern European by being a little on the dated side. Like the upholstery on the seats and like the color scheme made it look a little like it was slightly older.
And they lit it with orange lights instead of bright blue lights. So, yes, they toned it. They gave it color, as they say in the business. But, yes, it is space related. And, of course, there's a space walk and there's beautiful space shots. And you got to see the exterior of the thing. And everything just kind of floats along. You know, you got to. Somehow, apparently, I would be stressed. I would not do well in space. I don't do very well in submarines either. I get very agitated, and everything just seems
basically
to fly by.
Can.
They're trying to make you think that everything in space is slow. It seems everything is so slow, like time stops. No, it doesn't. You're flying around the Earth at like 90,000 miles an hour. You're only 280 miles above. Oh, no, he's farther out.
Oh, he's way farther.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be slow. And if you're really worried about things, then you shouldn't just take your time everywhere. But you're going from one cabin to the next cabin as you're floating.
Well,
wires can only go so fast. Jen?
I don't watch this movie if you're afraid of spiders. That's what the creature is. It's a giant spider. So just be aware of that. If you think it's going to be some other kind of alien that doesn't look like a spider, just know it looks like a spider. A huge spider. And bigger than the man. It was slow. It was boring. I didn't care about the characters. That's it. That's all I have to say, honestly.
Okay. So it hits different for unmarried people, I guess. Maybe for married people, it's like you can relate a little more to people being apart, and, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, or does it, or reflecting, having time apart and reflecting on things.
There's a lot of good lessons, however.
Mm.
Marriage is work, and, you know, when you are dating, part of the dating and the pre-wedding experience is like an interview. What are you about? What are your life goals? How are those going to match with my goals? I want to go to Jupiter by myself before I get married. This was clear. And then she's somehow surprised that he went and took a trip that's going to last a year. At least he's coming back on, like, these trips to Mars. Think if you and I were married and Elon said, would you like to go to Mars? And I said, yes. It's a one-way trip and it's only me. You know what I mean? You would be like, wait, as part of our pre-marriage interview, we never discussed any
Mars
of these
never
things.
Came up.
Exactly. So she knew.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Adam Sandler in this role. Because we don't often see him in more serious roles. And I think part of it for me is maybe it's a little easier for him to be in the drama in something that seems a little slower.
Mm. Come on. I always wanted Adam Sandler to be funny. I like it that way. Same with Steve Carell. I don't like when he's not funny. However, that movie where he was the jeweler, but he was also kind of made up and it didn't really look like. Remember, he was the jeweler? That was fast-paced, and yet that was a serious drama.
The one that I liked him the most in that wasn't his typical movie was The Cobbler, the one where he discovered that his father was a cobbler, and he discovered this machine for repairing shoes, and it put him in the place of the customers.
Yeah, but that was magical.
It was magical, but it was not a typical Adam Sandler comedy, and I think he was really good in that role. This one, I think it was just kind of a little awkward, maybe, but I think there was some value here. Although the creature seemed like it was campy enough that could have been the comedy.
But was
element.
It real? All right, Miss Jennifer, I know that you, final words.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that lost me was the space slowness and all of that aspect, and the way that the creature knew so much was also weird and unsettling. I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, it's my turn, because you're going to wrap up the whole segment, hopefully, in the next 20 or so seconds. I give it a 4, and I probably would have given it more. I think his performance was pretty good, but yes, it was a little bit slow for me, and I'm starting to get a little OD'd on these space movies.
I agree. I've had enough space movies. I will join you in
No, Miss Victoria will not be wrapping up this segment, because that is a clip from the Smart Movie Show, which you can check out at smartmovieshow.com. We do a movie review every week. We try to on online tonight, and we take it from the weekly Smart Movie Show, in case you are curious. You can give us a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. Still time to get in your calls and your texts and your emails. 951-395-1017 is the text. show@onlinetonight.com is the email. And I wanted to share with you, we just talked about Spaceman. I believe that's on Netflix. Netflix is confirming that you will no longer be able to subscribe or continue your Netflix subscription from within iOS. On a phone or anything like that. So what happens is, if you had done that, Netflix would have had to give up 30% of that money to Apple. Some developers call it the Apple tax or the App Store fee. And Netflix doesn't want to part with that 30% anymore. So if you want to get your membership, whether it's the basic plan or any of those other things, you'll want to go to the Netflix website, and you would want to you know, do it from their site, because you could no longer do it from within the Apple ecosystem. All right. Hopefully that makes sense. And if you're trying to find it in the app, it's not there anymore. So just so that you know, nothing's broken. Their servers aren't down. They just don't want to pay the Apple fee anymore. All right. Don't forget, you can head over to the website onlinetonight.com and check out the show notes. There's still more. Stay tuned. All right, let's bookmark this one, eatright.org, and that's EATRIGHT.org. March is National Nutrition Month. This website is from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. It features 50 ways you can get involved in National Nutrition Month, in addition to resources about health and fitness for all ages. It's all right there. And, of course, there are recipes there if you want to get some healthy recipes to make some meals. Then that's the right website for you. It's eatright.org, eatright.org. That's this hour's Bookmark This, brought to you by Anchor. You probably know Anchor for their dongles, as I call them. They call them hubs. The Anchor 655 USB-C hub is an 8-in-1. It has a micro SD card, an SD card slot, two USB ports. Those are the 10 gig ports. Audio Ethernet and HDMI, all in a sleek little device. Available in two colors. Check out all that Anchor offers at OLTTV.com/Anchor. That's OLTTV.com/ANKER.
Online tonight.
Our other radio show is a Lamborghini. And as a matter of fact, we do own the road. This is Online Tonight. Now here's Max.
I'm always fascinated by some of these food reports. I find that my father and some of my relatives get a little bit gassy when they consume a lot of dairy. But the FDA just came out recently and said that yogurt can now make a limited claim that they lower type 2 diabetes risks. Apparently, they were talking about marketing these types of things. But if you market something and it's false and the FDA doesn't approve, they will come after you and they will fine you and all these things. But apparently on Friday, they came out and said that the yogurt companies can state that scientific evidence supports that yogurt could help you with your type 2 diabetes. Here's a quote. Eating yogurt regularly, at least 2 cups or 3 servings a week, may reduce the risk of the disease that affects about 38 million people in the U.S., or roughly 462 million individuals worldwide. Don't forget that in some cases you may have allergies or other issues with yogurt. So keep that in mind. But if you don't have those issues, then maybe adding yogurt to your diet may help you out. And that's always a good thing. A lot of people are frustrated with Wendy's new pricing. Wendy says that after the backlash, well, let me tell you what they were going to do. What the media was saying was that Wendy's was going to have surge pricing. And in case you don't know what surge pricing is when a demand for a certain item is high, they charge more. And when demand for an item is less, then they charge less. And so the media was reporting that Wendy's was going to start changing prices kind of on a demand schedule right on those digital menu boards. That's that's one of the flexibilities of a digital menu board, is that they can just click a button and boom, all the prices will drop, or boom, all the prices will decrease or increase in this case. And so they, you know, they wanted to maybe explore that. And Wendy's very quickly came out and said, we will not be implementing surge pricing, which is the practice of raising prices when demand is the highest. This was not a change in our plans. It was never our plan to raise prices when customers are visiting us the most. But apparently, where did they get the information? It looks like maybe Wendy's had been experimenting with surge pricing in certain markets, and somebody caught on. Was this a franchise that was trying something? Was this a corporate kind of experiment? What created it? We don't know the answers to that yet. But Wendy's wants you to know that you're not going to pay any more money than you have to for their square burgers and their Frosties and all the other things that they have. New patent, apparently, has come out from the Heinz company. They've taken a step forward in sustainable packaging with their brand new fully recyclable ketchup cap. And they have partnered with Berry Global. And what they're doing is they're combining engineering and other materials to help create a cap that will biodegrade more quickly. That way we don't have to have a lot of these plastic caps all over the place. And they are also touting that the ketchup nozzle that is included in this cap, or the valve, whichever word you want to use, has been redesigned so that the nice, thick, yummy ketchup you will want to enjoy the product more. Apparently, they've spent about $1.2 million with extensive testing, demonstrations, and a bunch of stuff like that. And they produce like 300 million plastic caps every year. And so they're really taking time to make sure that they're fully recyclable, reusable, or compostable. These are their missions, and they're trying hard to make sure that their product does not impact the world more than it has to. All right. Did we know that Walmart has purchased Vizio? I think we mentioned they were considering it not too long ago. But Walmart is spending $2.3 billion to buy Vizio. You may know or may not know that they had their own brand of TVs for a while called ON, O-N-N. And those were made by different suppliers at different times, depending on what size of screen you wanted and what features you wanted. And they would outsource some of these things to different places. But now they are buying Vizio, which is one of the top smart TV suppliers. Fairly good reputation, good service. I've had their TVs in the past. I still have a few, and they still operate just great. Don't forget that you can get the podcast over at onlinetonight.com. Every hour, we put in show notes, listener questions, just comments, the bookmark this. That way it's easy for you to find. You don't have to write anything down. You can click and listen to the podcast right there, or you can subscribe. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is produced and copyrighted by Smart Family Media. All rights reserved. Host Maxwell Smart, producer and other hats worn by Victoria Smart. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, affiliates, or other advertisers.